So I'm going to start with the scripture in Romans chapter 8. Very familiar. You guys could turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8:28, and it says, "And now we know that all things," everybody say, "all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." How many know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, right? And tonight, if you are taking notes, the title of my message is "The Purpose of the Process." The purpose of the process. That scripture says one more time, "And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." And that's Romans 8:28. You know, I think sometimes we see this scripture and we think, you know, when we go through trials or we have stuff that happens to us, we think, well, that must have been God that sent that. But it's not God that sends a trial, but God can use that anyway, right? How many of you guys have ever been through something and it didn't feel like a God thing, but God still used that for our good? Amen? So God doesn't send them, but he uses them for our good. He's able to use our lives, our situations, our trials, our shortcomings. He's able to use those things for our good. He's able to use our blessings for our good. He's able to use all those things as a part of the process to grow us. And, you know, as I was preparing for this message and I was in prayer, God reminded me that each and every one of us go through a process. Well, how many of you guys are in the middle of the process right now? I think we're all in the middle of the process. We never stop, right? We go from glory to glory, right? But the other day, I needed a haircut. My hair was getting all crazy. And I remember thinking, like, I don't have time to go to the barber and get a haircut. And I started to think of the process, and I'm like, so I'm going to have to rush home, get my daughters, take her home, run to the shop. I'm going to have to sit there and wait. I'm going to have to, you know, they're going to start to put the line around, they're going to start to fade it, they're going to switch to another razor, they're going to get the comb and start doing some of that stuff. I don't know what they do, I'm not a hair cutter. And then they're going to do all that, and then they can get the little loud razor. I mean, you got a razor, and they get the loud razor, and it goes real, real, like, close to your skin, right? And it's this long process, and then finally, after all that, they clean you up, they throw some gel in your hair, and you're done, right? And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about, just to get a haircut, there's such a big process. But for the result that I wanted, I had to go through this process, right? I wanted to have a nice haircut. And if I wanted to have that, I had to go through this process of getting in my car, driving to the shop, sitting there, waiting, letting them cut my hair, and go through all this process. And I was thinking about the process that we go through with God. You know, in our own lives, I know me personally, I know that I could not be where I am today if I did not go through a process. If I didn't go through some trials, if I didn't face some things, if I didn't go through some times where I was testing my faith, and, you know, there was times where I'm like, God, are you even here? But through those times, God began to build my trust. He began to build my faith. He began to build my character. He began to build me, and it was through that process of going through some things. I mean, how many of you guys have ever been through something, right? And when you're going through something, it doesn't feel good, right? How many of you guys love trials? How many of you guys love when your car breaks down? Anybody? How many of you guys love when you're going through it? Nobody likes the process. But how many know if you want to be used by God and you want God to take you to another level, you have to go through a process. Amen? I remember part of my process when I began to really put my trust and my faith in God. I remember one example was when I was in college, and me and my wife had got married that summer. We were living there, and I didn't have a lot of money. I actually had like $37 to my name. I don't know if that's the correct amount, but it wasn't a lot. It was like that. And I remember going to my friend's house, and I opened up their fridge, and all they had was a carton of eggs. Like a big box full of eggs. And I was like, that's all you guys got? And he's like, yeah, we eat eggs for breakfast, we eat them for lunch, and we eat them for dinner. And right when he said that, I felt the Holy Spirit speaking to me. I want you to go get your money that you have in the bank, and I want you to bless them. It was only like $37. So we went to Dollar General and I came back with a bunch of bags of groceries and I began to just put my trust in God. I was like, God, I don't have money to pay my bills, but this is what you told me, so I'm going to do it. So I gave it to them and they were just blessed, and I went on my way. 2 days later, I got a check in the mail and it was for more than enough to meet my needs. And you know what? It was because I stepped out in faith. That I trusted that process. And now that I've went through processes like this where I had to trust God with $37. Now when pastor asked for a building pledge and he says, you know what? How many of you guys love this church? This is your church. I need you to give a building pledge. I have my hand up every single time. Because I know that when we trust the process, when we trust God, that He's gonna come through for us. I remember there was one time in particular, we did a $3,000 building pledge. That's a lot of money to me. Maybe not to you guys, but $3,000 is a lot of money. I don't have that just laying around. And I said, raise my hand, and I'm just like, what am I doing right now, Holy Spirit? I was trying to pull it down. But how many know that God came through? And you know what? What's crazy is as soon as I raised my hand, the next day my car broke down. Another time, my house got broken into. So within this whole thing, but how many know that I was able to pay off my pledge and God met every single one of my needs above and beyond. And I know that from giving $37 to giving $3,000, there was a process of trust. And God was growing my trust in that. And this isn't a giving message, but I wanted to use that as an example because we go through things like that, right? Even with relationships, we gotta trust our spouse and we gotta learn and grow in those things, right? Even in our jobs, like we start out at a lower level, right? But if you do good and you work hard, then you eventually get raised up, right? And so there's a process to it. And so I have 3 points tonight, and my first point about the process with God is that process does not start on top. Tell your neighbor, the process does not start on top. You could turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel. We're going to kind of skip around Samuel. We're going to talk about David tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 16, the process does not start on the top. Have you know that when I got saved, I did not come straight to behind the pulpit, right? I did not come straight up here and start preaching, but there was a process to it. 1 Samuel 16:11 says, "And Samuel said to Jesse, 'Are all the young men here? Are all your sons here?' Then he said, 'There remains yet the youngest, and there he is keeping the sheep.' And Samuel said to Jesse, 'Send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes.'" So here what's happening is the prophet comes and he talks to Jesse and he's going to anoint the next king of Israel. And so Jesse grabs all of his sons except for David. And he's like, they come to this house and the prophet comes and he's looking to anoint the next king. And David is not even a part of this. Now imagine if your parents or you're throwing a party, right? And you invite all your friends and you invite all your family, but they're like, but you, I think I need you to go and work that night at wherever, right? And you're like, but we're having this party and we're having this special guest and we're having this awesome person's going to be here. Imagine if that was you and you weren't invited to this. Imagine how you would feel. But it said that David was out tending the sheep. So here he started in a low place. He didn't start on top. He wasn't even invited to this party, right? He wasn't even invited to this anointing ceremony. David was taking care of the sheep when the prophet came. He started as a servant. He was out of 8 kids, he was the youngest. How many of you guys have older siblings? How many of you guys have older siblings that used to make you do stuff that you didn't want to do? How many of you guys have ever gotten fights with your older siblings? I know in my house, I had an older sister and 2 older brothers, and I remember not getting my way all the time. Remember never getting to sit in the front seat, right? If there was anything cool that was happening. I remember one time I was in Raton, and we were doing, I think it was Straight from the Hood, or we were doing something, and we were having T-Bone here in Albuquerque. This one I was in the ministry there in Raton. And I remember my brothers, and we were all going to go, and then they said, "You can't go, you're too young." And I just got all sad and I started crying. And I was just like, man, you guys are messed up. You guys are a bunch of punks, right? But I remember being the younger brother just thinking like, man, I just want to go do that. And I could think of David here. He's serving and he's serving with the sheep and he didn't start in this high place, right? Because all of his brothers, they all looked good. They were all built. They all looked like they could be the next king. And David was just taking care of business. Our process doesn't start at the top. Let me know that if you're asked to go watch sheep, guess what? Go watch sheep. Mark Anthony said something that was pretty awesome this morning. He says, when we're back there teaching the kids, we're not just teachers, but we're shepherds. And that stuck out to me because those are the ones that are going to run this ministry later, right? The kids are the ones that are going to raise up. I see Brooke, she's playing piano now. I see Trinity preaching. I see the girls up here dancing. I see them raising up to take their place in the ministry. But how many know that if it wasn't for the teachers and the ones that were being shepherds over them, what would they do? They would just sit here in church and have their parents yell at them, right? Be quiet. Right? I know I'd be telling my kids, be quiet. So if you're asked to go watch sheep, go watch sheep. Second point is our process takes us saying yes. So not only does our process not start on the top, but it takes us saying yes. Sometimes we want to be seen or we want to do great things for God or we want to be the ones that are doing these awesome things for God. But what about the little things? What about moving chairs? What about setting up for a lasagna dinner? What about serving? What about ushering? What about doing these little things? I think one of my favorite ministries that I ever served in is the sound ministry. Shout out to the sound team. And the reason is they don't get a lot of credit, right? How many of you guys know that when we come into church, we all have our backs to them. The whole time we're facing away from the sound ministry and we're looking up here, right? And they are some of the first ones that come. They come and they set up, they tear down, they break, they do all this stuff. And they're some of the last ones to leave. But it was one of my favorite ministries that I've ever been a part of in this church because I learned how to work hard. I learned to do it not so people could see me, but I could be used by God in a small way. And I think of the sound ministry because without them doing what they do, we can't do what we do, right? Without the sound, when I'm talking on a mic and it's clear and you guys could understand, right? It's easier to communicate the word of God, right? Because of what they done. When I think about the parking lot, when people come up to the church and I walked out there today, I went to go help serve for the spaghetti dinner, but I had to go out to the car and the parking lot was full. And I could think, like, if I drove up at this time, where would I park? But that's why we have a parking lot team to help them, to serve them, right? Like, how many of you guys have ever went to a restaurant and the lines are really long, like fast food, and you're like, no, I'm going to go over here, right? Because you're like, I'm not going to wait in that line. And I could imagine if there wasn't someone there to help them, they might just drive off to the next place, right? And I think of serving in the kids or serving the ushers or armor bearing or doing any of these things. The little things matter. It's just as important as bringing the message. David said yes. When David's dad asked him to watch the sheep, he said yes. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 16:18-23, it says, then one of the servants answered and said, look, I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehemite, who is a skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech and a handsome person, and the Lord is with him. Therefore, Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who is with the sheep. And Jesse took the donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, and a young goat and sent them by his son David to Saul. So David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Then Saul sent to Jesse saying, please let David stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight. And so it was, whenever the spirit from God was upon Saul, that David would play his harp and play it with his hand, and Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. So here he went from being in the shepherd field to being an armor bearer, to being a worshiper that when he played, demonic spirits would leave, right? And the way that it happened is he kept saying yes. His dad said, can you go take care of the sheep? What did he say? Let's try that again. He said, can you take care of the sheep? And he said, you guys are good. He went from being there in the shepherd's field to getting next to the king, to becoming an armor bearer with the king. It still wasn't an out front position. It was still a servant's position, but he still did it with all of his heart. You know, when he did that, when he went from the shepherd's field to there, he found his gift. And how many know that when we step out and we say yes, that's where we begin to start finding our gifts. When we step out and say, you know what, I can usher. I could help at the park. I could put eggs on the floor so kids could find eggs. When we begin to step out and say yes, that's when we begin to find our calling. That's when we begin to find our place. That's when we begin to find our giftings, right? How many of you know that? You'll never know if you're good at working with kids until you get in there to work with kids. Someone once asked me, it's like, how do I know what I'm called to do? I said, just do everything. Try everything. Try ushering. Try sound. Try singing. Try kids church. Try parking lot. Try everything. And when you do that, you begin to find what you're good at. You begin to find what you're skilled at. And David was a skilled musician. And when he began to play, the anointing came upon him and the evil spirits left. And it's because he said yes. And I think here tonight that some of us are holding back. Some of us are not saying yes. We come here to service and we sit in our seat and we're okay with that. But how many know that God wants us to step out and to serve? God wants us to say yes. Amen? A little bit later, we see this champion warrior comes and he begins to defy the armies of Israel. He begins to start talking all this stuff about God and the Israelites. And it says that he was a champion. He was a warrior. He said he was a champion warrior. How many know that you become a champion by winning a bunch of battles, right? So he is someone that had been battling since he was young. And he put fear in all of Israel. And in 1 Samuel 17, it says, in 17, 15 through 18, David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep. So even though he was now an armor bearer next to the king, it said he still went back to do the little things. Even though he was got elevated, he didn't forget about how to serve, right? Right? Even though he got up on the pulpit and he was able to do the announcements, he's still able to serve, right? Or even because now you're a leader or something, how many know that you still should serve? We should serve even more that we're leaders, right? So it said that occasionally he went back and forth to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistines drew near and presented him 40 days, morning and evening. And then Jesse said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephod of this dried grain and these 10 loaves and run to your brothers at the camp and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of the thousands to see how your brothers fare and bring back news of them. So David said yes. Again, David says yes. He went from being a shepherd's boy to an armor bearer to a worship leader to an Uber Eats driver, right? He went from doing all these different things, and he just kept saying yes. He kept saying, yes, you need me to watch the sheep? Yes, God. Yes, Father, I'll do it. You need me to deliver this food? Yes, I'll do it. You need me to play the instrument, the harp? Yes, I'll do it. And he just kept saying yes. And how many know that when we say yes, it gives us opportunity? When we say yes to God, when we say yes, it gives us opportunity. Because when David said yes to these things, he stepped up and he seen this giant shouting all these things, all these negative things about Israel, talking all this smack about God. And David had an opportunity. David placed himself in a position for opportunity by saying yes. And how many of you know that when we step out for God and we say, you know what, I can do that. We're placing ourselves in an opportunity. We're placing ourselves in a position for opportunity. He kept saying yes. When we say yes to God, opportunity comes. When Pastor Joe says, I got 100,000 flyers for Convoy of Hope. I need someone to come with me. When we say yes, we place ourselves in an opportunity to lead someone to the Lord. To be a soul winner. to do what the Bible's all about, right? To tell people that there's hope in Christ. When someone says, hey, I need your help. Can you help me serve in this way? When we say yes, it opens up doors. We just got to keep saying yes to God. In Matthew 20:26, Jesus said, yet it shall not be so among you. Whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. Let me know if we want to do great things for God, that we have to be willing to serve. It doesn't matter where we serve, just serve. Tell your neighbor, just serve. When someone else asks you to say yes, David got the opportunity to face a giant because of his willingness to say yes to taking food. He got an opportunity because he said yes. The third thing tonight is, the third thing about our process with God is the things that we face make us overcomers. Like I said earlier, how many of you guys have been through some things? How many of you guys have been through trials, have been through addictions, have been through pain, have been through heartache, have been through some things, right? How many of you know that when we go through those things and we defeat them, when we get through them, we become overcomers over those things, right? The Bible says in 1 Samuel 17:34, it says, David said to Saul, your servant used to keep your father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took the lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard. I struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defiled the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord will be with you. So before he faced this giant, he faced some other opportunities, right? You could come to the keyboard. Before he faced the giant, he faced the lion and he faced the bear, right? And I think about our lives, and I think about the process that we go through, and I think about the way that God uses us and grows us and shapes us and molds us. I think about every little battle that we face and every little battle that we overcome. Those are the things that prepare us for future battles, for future greatness, for future opportunities to become overcomers. I can tell you 100% that I would not be where I'm at today if I kept failing, if I kept letting Satan come and take me out of the little things. I can tell you that if it wasn't me saying no to Satan and yes to God, that I wouldn't be where I'm at. And I'm not saying I'm nothing. I just love God and I just want to serve Him. But I'm telling you that I wouldn't be here in Victory Outreach since I was 11 years old for over 20 years if I just kept not going through something. And I think sometimes we forget that when we go through things, God's not just trying to make us go through things, but He's trying to make us grow through things. When you're in a trial, you should ask God, what are you trying to tell me in this time, God? What are you trying to show me? How are you trying to grow me during this time, God? But sometimes we just look at our trial or our situation and we're like, poor me. Why do I got to go through this again? The reason you got to go through it again is because you haven't learned the first time. And God wants us to grow from these things. David fought the lion and the bear before he ever had an opportunity to fight a giant. And I think sometimes in our lives we forget the things that we've overcame. Some of us are in here tonight and we've overcame alcoholism. We've overcame drug addiction. We've overcame lust. We've overcame anger. We've overcome these things. But how many know that God's not done with us? It doesn't just stop there. Every opportunity, every time we overcome, God wants to take us further from glory to glory to glory. And I think here tonight, the main thing that I want to say tonight is, why not just say yes to God? Why not just say, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. You know, I've been in this ministry for over 20 years, and I was asking Siobhan earlier, I was like, what ministries have I not done? And I was thinking about it. I've ushered, I've done security, I've done kids ministry, I've greeted, I've done sound for women's nights, so I've been a part of women's ministry. I've been to the D homes. I've never been to the jails yet, but I've been to the D homes. I've been on the evangelism team. And you know, I just kept saying yes. And how many know that if you just keep saying yes to God, opportunity is going to come. When you just keep saying, God, yes, whatever you want, I'm going to do it. How many know that when we say yes to God, He's going to take us to new levels. He's going to take us to new places. And it's this process that we're in. This process that we're all in. You know, some of you might be here tonight and you're like, my process is I just don't even know God yet. I want to give my life to God. And that saying, yes, God, I trust you. I'll give you my life. That's the first step of your process. And some of us are in here, you know, we've been in church for a while. I mean, you know, our next step of the process is to start to serve somewhere. Start to say, God, I'll do it. What do you need me to do, God? I'll do it. And then maybe some of us have been around for a while. And maybe some of us have been here and we're like, you know what, God, I've done this and I've done that and I've done that. But how many know that God doesn't want us to just do that once? He wants us to continue to do it. Continue to serve. Continue to grow. Continue to build others. When you went through something, it's not just for you. When you go through something, it's not just for you, but it's for you to help others go through that same thing. And I look at my life, some of the things that I've battled and some of the things that I've went through, the guys that I'm working with now, going through the same things, and God shows me, He's like, I showed you how to defeat this, now you show them how to defeat this. And you know, that's what we need to do. We need to continue to grow, continue to trust, continue to let the process happen. Let's all stand to our feet tonight. The process that David went through, from a shepherd boy to a delivery food driver to playing in the worship team, that process took him to become a giant killer and eventually the king of Israel. David went through this process, and tonight I know some of us are here. We feel like we're in a process, or we feel like we're in a trial, or we feel like we're in some kind of struggle. Let me know that that's just God trying to use you. The first scripture I said is that Romans 8:28, for God works all things for the glory of those who love Him. Let me know that when we're going through something, God's going to use that for our good. He's going to use it for our good. Because He wants to see us. He loves us so much, He doesn't want to see us stay where we're at. He wants us to grow. Let's all close our eyes tonight. Father God, I pray, God, even right now, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit, God, that you would just go out, God. You begin to convict us. You begin to challenge us. Even right now, God, show us, God, those things, God, that we're holding back on, God. Show us those things, God, in our life, God, that if we're struggling with it, God, it's just part of the process, God. I pray that tonight, God, you would show us, God, how to be overcomers, God. Yes, God. Father God, we pray, God, that you would have your way, God. Right now, we're going to open these altars. And if you came here tonight and maybe something that was spoken tonight spoke to your heart, then these altars are open. Maybe you say, I need more of God. I just need to keep saying yes to God. Then come up to these altars and let God get a hold of you. Yes, God. Come on, let's sing something. As they begin to come, let's just begin to worship God and say, God, I need you. I need you to help me through this time. I need you to build me through this process, God.
I'll provide a sacrifice. You provide.